Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Hey, we're back. Michael Cohen, producer James Platy on the board, 622. Well, Michigan is one of only seven states that does not require insurers to provide the same coverage for mental disorders as for physical illness. That's according to the Michigan Partners for Parity, a coalition of 60 organizations, although the state Senate today is debating a bill package that would create a state fund to help insurers cover autism treatment. To talk about how mental health coverage is handled in our state, I'm joined by Amy Zagman. She's the executive director at the Michigan Council for Maternal and Child Health. Amy, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You know, so without this requirement to provide equal coverage for mental disorders as compared to physical ones, what kind of coverage do insurers typically provide for mental illnesses here in Michigan?
So in Michigan, those policies that are covered by state law, so primarily small and mid-sized employers have policies that are covered by state law. The norm is that you would have a policy that would cover a very limited number of visits, a very limited number of annual benefits, and a very limited amount of lifetime benefit. So if you look at your policy, if you fall into that category of people, if you look at your policy under the benefits that are offered on the mental health side, you'll probably find that you have a much larger copay, a much larger deductible. You may have a very stringent limit on the number of visits that you can make to a provider, and you may find that your annual and lifetime maximum dollar amount that's covered is substantially lower than that, which it would be if you were looking on your physical health coverage side.
And you're saying that most states, the vast majority in the country, require far more robust coverage for mental disorders?
Correct. 43 states have what we call mental health parity. That is in addition to the fact that the federal government also has passed a federal parity bill. So large employers that are covered primarily by self-insured plans are also are required to have mental health parity. So within that policy, within those coverages, there can be no more restrictions placed on mental health coverage than that on physical health. So any restrictions on visits, copays, deductibles, all those things have to be equal within those plans in those 43 states and with all large employers across the country.
I mean, insurers would likely point to the cost to themselves and the customers if we do provide this equal coverage. Would we, in fact, see a higher insurance costs?
The beauty of being one of the last is that we have lots and lots of data to show from other states that, in fact, it seems counterintuitive, but when you think about it, someone who has a mental health diagnosis in many cases will overutilize the physical health coverage that they have within their policy because of stress-related illnesses and other manifestations of their mental illness. And so what we find is if you look at the data from the 43 states and long-term studies of this is that you don't find a cost increase. There's a very small premium increase at the onset, about 0.1% at the onset of adding this coverage. But when you start looking at some of the offsets, not only that physical health offset, but also offsets to the employer with regard to less absenteeism, increased productivity, that we find that this more than pays for itself. And in fact, in states where they have what they call a trigger, where they've put right in their legislation, if the premium increases more than 1%, then those employers just need to apply to the insurance commissioner or whatever the regulatory body is, mm-hmm. and we will let you out of having to comply with the statute. States that have had the trigger have never had to use it.
I'm talking to Amy Zagman. She's the executive director at the Michigan Council for Maternal and Child Health. So what's the resistance here in Michigan? Why are state lawmakers not falling in line with the rest of the country?
You know, it's been sort of a moving target for us over the course of two decades trying to get this legislation passed. Really, in Michigan, there seems to be an entrenched philosophy that anything that looks like a mandate, even though I would argue that the bills, the way they're currently constructed, don't mandate coverage. They simply say that you have to have equal coverage if you offer it. But there seems to be an entrenched opposition to anything that looks like a mandate from the employer community. And I would say in Michigan, we're somewhat unique in that the coalition that exists, Economic Alliance and the Health Purchasers Coalition, is a unique coalition of both union and employer parties who have come together to just categorically be opposed to increases in coverage. So we've been fighting an uphill battle, if you think about it, pretty powerful opponents to have of all the business community and the unions. And so it's made it quite difficult to get any traction.
Now, autism treatment coverage is apparently now the focus of state lawmakers. Do you consider that the most important area that insurers should be required to cover equally?
Partners for Parity is very supportive of ending the discrimination that exists for children and families dealing with autistic children. And so we very much support that legislation. The problem and what the things that we try to bring up to lawmakers is it would be much better to do this as a comprehensive approach to deal with all of brain disorders at the same time with one comprehensive bill. We're worried that if we step forward with just a bill to cover autism, that will never come back and take care of the rest of the families dealing with the cost and the hardship that is created when there's insufficient coverage for a brain disorder.
I mean, is autism one of the bigger mental disorders that families deal with, or is it just a small piece of the pie?
I think probably on the prevalence, there's an increasing prevalence of autism. There's certainly increased attention to it, but I think it's probably one of a long list of brain disorders. It is the only one, and it's a point that the supporters make, that specifically in many insurance policies specifically named out for exclusion. And I think the point I made in the Senate committee today was just because it's more discriminated against doesn't mean that we shouldn't band together and end all discrimination of brain disorders in the state of Michigan.
I mean, with all the pressure politically, I'm guessing, that it took to get state lawmakers to address at least the autism coverage, and from what you heard, do you really expect lawmakers to double back and kind of look at it in the larger picture?
I would hope that they would. I clearly think this is an opportunity to do the right thing and to take care of all Michigan families. And, you know, some of the points that were also made in the hearing today, children with autism have a myriad of issues that they may encounter throughout their adolescence. And we're worried that if they don't have adequate coverage for comorbid psychiatric disorders that they may encounter, that they're no different than other children who may be struggling with this limited coverage. So, you know, it really gets into, you know, we know that there isn't a cost issue. And if we're going to if we want to help all families, then we should do that. We shouldn't carve out just autism. Even though, you know, like I said, we're very supportive of that. We don't want to be seen as trying to kill that effort, but simply, as you said, really pushing lawmakers to have a broader scope.
Amy Zagman, Executive Director at the Michigan Council for Maternal and Child Health. Amy, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you so much.